Welcome to Revival for Mission. Our topic today, how to discover and nurture a personal relationship with God. That's really the foundation of being revived for mission. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who trusts in Him. If you'd like to discover and nurture a personal relationship with God, stay tuned for Revival for Mission. How do you discover and nurture a personal relationship with God? Pastor Wilson, people always tell young people growing up, you need a personal relationship with God. But how do I find that? How do I nurture that?
That is one of the most important things. In fact, it is the most important thing in our personal lives, to be able to know Jesus, to be able to know God, the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That only comes by spending some time with the Word of God and in prayer. And when you are spending quality time on your knees and also digging into the Word of God, the Lord reveals things to you that just make this relationship come alive. I mean, you know, this talking to God as a friend, it's so important. This is the kind of thing that every one of us needs to have.
As I look in the Bible, I see mentors helped people find that relationship. Who was a mentor for you as you were growing up?
Definitely my parents, my father and my mother, both of them very Christ-centered people, scriptural people, people who were focused on the Word of God. But teachers in school, teachers in church, you know, for Sabbath school and understanding the Word of God. These had profound impacting influences on me. And but I would say even in a later stage, even though I was a Christian, I was learning about Christ and about my daily walk with Him and all of that and the Word of God. It wasn't until I was about 21 and I was attending an evangelistic field school and someone introduced me in a powerful way, and maybe sometime we'll talk about it, how
personal
you
relationship.
That you're saved. How do you know that you're connected with God?
That's an exciting topic. We've got some great guests, but why don't you share a spiritual thought with us as we continue?
Friends, I believe one of the most beautiful Bible passages revealing the reality of God is found in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, this beautiful passage reveals how nature itself testifies to a Creator God, a God big enough to create an entire universe and everything in it, including you and me. But this God doesn't just create the universe and then leave it to its own devices. This same eternal being reaches down to earth and provides what we need to live the life He intended and to be transformed into His image. Now, continuing in this beautiful psalm, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Now, as you know, honey is sweet. But this passage reminds us there is something even sweeter. And in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, we are invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. So let me ask this question. Do you know God? Have you tasted and found that He is truly good? If not, I invite you to reach out to Him in prayer. Tell Him you want to have a relationship with Him. He will answer, perhaps in a still small voice, perhaps in a booming reply. He will do whatever it takes to have a living connection with you. Why not reach out to Him today in prayer and Bible study?
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. We are excited to have three young guests with us on the program. Hannah and Sarah Klingbeil and Hani Bulichka. I had to practice those names. Those were unusual. So we've got two sisters here. Maybe, Hannah, you can tell us Klingbeil. That doesn't sound like it came from America. Where did you grow up?
That's a very good question. We grew up all over the world. We were born, Sarah and I were both born in Peru, so we spent time in South America, we lived in Asia for a bit, and then we moved here to the U.S.
International family.
Yes, very international.
And Hani Bulichka.
Yes, my parents are from the Czech Republic, but I was born and raised in Austria, so I'm from Europe.
Pastor, we have an international team today.
Isn't that great? We're delighted to have these three wonderful young ladies. Hannah and Sarah, you're sisters, and you have a younger sister, Mimi, Jemima.
Yeah.
And we know the family, and our family has three daughters, so we kind of identify. It's been wonderful to see you folks growing up. Mm. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit, because we want to know about your personal experience with Jesus.
Amen.
How that developed. Now, you know, we've been watching you in the local church that we both belong to, or all three belong to, but it's very important about this personal growth. But before we get into that, we're going to do that soon. How did you meet Hani?
Well, I met her. Actually, she was an answer to prayer, because I went as a student missionary last year to Austria.
To Austria.
I was in Austria, yes. I was at Bogenhofen.
Because you speak fluent German.
We are German.
You are German.
To add to the mix of where we've all been. And, you know, you're in a new place. I've never been there before. It's a new experience.
And Bogenhofen is an educational institution?
Yes, an educational institution.
Okay.
It's a high school and a little bit of a college and a language school, too. So it's kind of all mixed
run
together.
Run by Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yep,
and what were you doing there?
I was an assistant dean there.
So a volunteer year?
Yes, a volunteer year.
And that's where you met?
I did. Hani. I was very lonely, and so I was praying to God for help me make friends, and she was one of the first friends I made. So
beautiful, great. Beautiful. Yeah.
And here you are sitting on the couch together, talking about how you found a personal relationship with Jesus.
Now, Hani, tell us a little bit about the kind of work you're doing, because you have now graduated from a particular line of work. Tell us the kind of work you're doing and the experience you're having with that.
Yeah, I work as a nurse. I just graduated 1 year ago, and I work in a hospital in a psychiatric unit. So I never thought about this kind of work. It was really, I never planned on it. Mm. So it's challenging and interesting at the same time.
Now, being a Christian, a strong Christian, how has that impacted your work as a nurse, working in the psychiatric ward and that kind of thing?
First of all, it was a prayer for me, or I was requesting God to grant me this wish. I wanted to have Sabbath off, even as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's not possible. I wanted to be first a missionary somewhere abroad. And then I was praying about it. I said, okay, Lord, I will go there if you give me Sabbath off. I want to go to church every Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I was on the safe side. I will end up in the missionary field because it won't be possible. But they granted this request. So that was the first. Yeah, it's amazing. It was the first thing I was praying about. And you were asking how it is impacting my life, my everyday life when I'm at work. Just a quick experience I had. Working in the psychiatric department or unit, it's not that challenging on the physical side, but on the mental, on mm-hmm. the emotional. Mm-hmm. And my great fear was that someday I will lose my temper, or I will, even though it takes a while, but I was like, I want to have this peace in my heart. Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, show people Jesus through me. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid I won't be able to do that every time. Mm-hmm. There are challenging situations, and there was a lady, she was capable of taking a shower by herself, but she was refusing to it, and it was time to take a shower. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just to get a picture, you know, I was wet, she was dry.
And challenging.
It was challenging, definitely. And I was praying, I was saying, Lord, what shall I do? And I didn't see an effect, even though I was praying in silently in my heart. And I knew she was a Christian. And so I started to sing a scripture song in German because I felt I was not calm and I was getting mad. And it was necessarily not so much for her. It was more for me to calm down, to feel God's presence even in this challenging situation. And, you know, it helped me. And I saw also in effect that at her, you know, it took a while. I was singing it not only one time.
Kept singing.
Yes, and talking to her. And at the end, she took this shower by herself. And the next day, I was even able to pray with her.
Praise God.
So I was really feeling this joy and peace in my heart like never before.
Yeah, Pastor Wilson, as Honey was sharing, I thought of Daniel purposed in his heart to honor
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And God not only provided for Sabbath for you, but he's using you to extend his love to the patients that you care for. That's a beautiful testimony.
And that's a beautiful thought, which I heard you share in a worship recently about that verse in Daniel chapter 1, purposing in our heart to do something through the power of God.
Amen.
And that's the experience that all of us need to have, this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And that's where we want to go now with these dynamic young people here.
Two sisters.
Hannah and Sarah, you, as we've said, you're sisters. You both attend the same university, Christian Seventh-day Adventist University. Mm. And we're going to start with Hannah. I want you to share. You know, you've grown up in a Christian home, you're in a Christian university, but I want you to share, how do you develop your own personal relationship with God so that it's vibrant, so that it's meaningful, and you're not just kind of coasting along on whatever atmosphere you can get from your parents? When does this become personal and real? Mm. Hannah, we'll start with you.
Well,
you're the oldest, so
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Sorry. I think that there are two main things or experiences that happened that really shaped my belief in God and strengthened it. I remember in third, fourth grade, I really wanted a best friend, and I was praying and praying. And I prayed maybe for a couple of years, and God wasn't answering my prayer. And we moved to the States, and we were homeschooling. You know, we're in a new culture. We didn't really know lots of people. And it was just kind of like one day I got this thought. It was kind of like God was saying to me, like, Hannah, you know, I've been here all this time. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting. I want to be your best friend. Like,
oh,
come,
that's beautiful.
Spend time with me. Like, I can fill that void that no human can actually fill, even though I'd really been praying for something in my mind a little bit differently. So that was the one experience, you know, God as my best friend. Mm. And then the second thing that really impacted me was in high school or so, I started really thinking, what happens if there's other truth out there that maybe is not here? I value the Bible as the foundation of everything. Mm-hmm. But I was still like, what happens if there's something more, right?
Yeah.
So I spent time, you know, I searched the five major religions. I searched, you know, I was researching, learning, reading some part of the Quran, like, you know, mm-hmm. really interested in learning what do the others have to say. Mm-hmm. And I came out of that, and that actually strengthened my faith in God, actually, because I realized the one thing that all of them were missing was this concept of a savior.
Mm-hmm.
None of the others have a savior. And that the peace and joy and that comes from knowing that God, you know, Christ sacrificed for me and I have salvation through him.
Amen.
Instead of having to work work so hard and not have anything, you know, you're always in the doubt, did I make it? Did I work enough to make it to heaven or wherever I'm going? And so that really just strengthened my faith in God and as a Christian and where I am today.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you got that, of course, from the Word, the written Word, which represents the living Word, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And that's a marvelous thing mm-hmm. because your father and your mother are both very much involved in activities, helping people to understand Scripture, religious understandings, but you've got to make it personal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, Sarah... Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that Sarah's here. Mm-hmm. She and I have something in common. We both play the clarinet.
Yeah.
And she just told me that you're part of the woodwind ensemble, and I'm delighted. Congratulations. Sarah, tell me about your experience and how, as a 19-year-old, a freshman in college, how you begin to, well, it didn't begin in college, but I mean, how have you made this personal connection really yours?
Yeah. So I always loved God. And God, you know, growing up, I heard those stories and I saw how God was working in my parents' lives and in the, you know, in the big world around me. And it was always very clear. But the question that I would ask was God interested in me? Mm-hmm. Did he love me? Was he interested in my little life? Did he care about me? Would he answer my prayers?
Mm-hmm.
And I started praying. And, you know, prayer can be really formal. You know, you kneel down and close your eyes and whatever. But I started praying, like, without ceasing, kind of. And mm-hmm. so, like, I tried to...
Attitude of prayer.
Yes. And so I would try and, like, you know, just walking through the day, be like, oh, this is beautiful. And, like, slowly through those little things, I just saw how God was, like, connecting my, like, those little
Amen.
Experiences. And I fell in love with God through prayer.
Amen.
And...
Powerful.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle with reading his word because for me it was heavy, it was hard,
mm-hmm.
and that was kind of hard. I love prayer, I love talking to God, but reading his word would take time, and I, you know, every morning I wouldn't be very consistent and stuff. And I remember one time I was in high school, and actually I might have, no, I think it was end of middle school, and I had a Bible, and it was a brand new Bible, and I had a friend of mine, and she wasn't very religious. But she saw the Bible and she took it from me and she thought, oh, this is pretty. You know, it had a nice cover on it. And it's like, oh, this is gorgeous. And she like really, you know, usually she would just talk about gossip and stuff like that. But she took it and she like reverently like was flipping through the pages. And then she like turned to me and she said, have you read this? Like all of it? And I was like, no. And then she's like, oh, and you just saw this disappointment, like, oh. And then she gave me the Bible back, and I was just like, well, if I call myself a Christian and I love God, why aren't I reading his love letter to me, you know?
Yep.
And that just thought stuck with me. And so I started reading his word, and I do different things, you know. Sometimes I'll do Bible markings, and that keeps me up, but I don't do something always the same. I try something different. Sometimes I'll write, you know, journals or sticky notes, and, you know, I do different things to change it up but I've learned so much, and it's been a good experience.
You know, that insight of prayer, it reminded me in the little book, Steps to Christ, it speaks of prayer as the opening of the heart to God
as to a friend. Yeah, beautiful.
And I think finding a personal relationship is part of that prayer journey that you're talking about. Honey, we heard about your ministry, your mission, because this is Program Revival for Mission. Yes. But tell us about your journey. Did you grow up in a Christian family too? How did you find a personal relationship with Jesus?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom raised me on her knees, I could say that. Mm. She was a woman of prayer, and I was really grateful for this. So there was never a moment I doubted that there is a God. I was sure I wanted to get baptized. I want to believe in Him and live with Him. But there were times I was like, not sure if it was my decision. So it was like a journey. And I realized that deciding to be with God is just the start of this journey. It's not the end. And every day it's a new day, and you have every day a new possibility to reach out to God and to ask Him for help. And it's a daily surrendering to Him, asking Him to take over, to be the one, and not me making plans for myself. So that was, I think that was the big change for me, that I was no longer seeking my ideals or my plans, but I was asking Him where He wants me to be, where He wants me to be a blessing to others.
Beautiful. It's wonderful. Now, we don't have much time left. It's just been delightful to have you.
Amazing testimony.
This, you know, this is wonderful. You're young people. In your generation, as well as even older, we are seeing more and more doubt today. Young people, you know, it's more of a secular setting to a great extent. Some viewer today, in the next couple minutes here, before Pastor Morris wraps things up, what would you say to someone who doubts God, the existence of God? Hannah, any counsel? We'll just ask all three of you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I would tell them, don't give up on God. I mean, He's never given up on us, and He never will. I mean, when I think of the sacrifice that He went through, everything, I mean, He gave everything so we can be with Him. That's a hopeful thought, too.
And I
really love that thought. So I say, you know, I mean, there's days where I sometimes doubt, when am I close to God? No. And, you know, I struggle too every day sometimes.
Sure.
But don't give up on God. Like, He's always there waiting to come back.
Because He doesn't give up on us. That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
Sarah?
Well, you know, sometimes I have friends and different people that they don't want to go to church anymore because of bad experiences that they've had or something like that. And what I'd say is, don't let imperfect people turn you away from a perfect God.
Beautiful.
And I think taste God for yourself. Learn to pray. Like, that's what opened, like, that's what had, how I had my relationship with God. And like, just the little things. And don't turn yourself off for something really good just because of bad experiences.
Don't let imperfect people turn you away from a perfect God. I like that. Honey, any last word for us on that?
Yes, I really like what Hannah said before. When she was a child, she was looking for something to fill this hole in her heart. And I think every person has this longing for something. And we try to fill it with fun experiences and you know, drugs, anything, you know. And I think the only way it can be filled is through God. And so,
amen.
Beautiful testimony. You know, the text that came to my mind, and I just want to share with our viewers, is that through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not.
Amen.
They are new every morning. May God your best friend. Talk to Him as a friend. Surrender your life to Him. We'll be right back with more after the break.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
We've heard some beautiful testimonies, Pastor Wilson, from Hannah and Sarah and Honey. It's just so inspiring. But a question that comes to many is, how can I find time? I think one of them even mentioned the challenge of that. How can I find time to daily nurture that personal relationship with God?
You know, I think, Pastor Morris, the challenge is this focus on what is most important in your life.
Priorities?
You know, many of us are married, our spouses, my wife, your wife, they need attention. We need to spend time with them. If we are just kind of passing each other during the day, we're all so busy, everything is so intense, you never really have the time to develop the relationship as you had in the beginning when you were really focused. So I think this analogy is really an important one, because in our own spiritual lives, as well as in our physical lives and marriage relationships, we need this time. So it's purposing in our heart. It's focusing on saying, I've got to take some time. Now you can, I mean, in this busy world today, I listen to scripture through my sound system in the car. I can just hook
multitask.
hook it in, or if you've got, you know, some other electronic way of, you know, some Bluetooth or whatever, you can listen to the Word of God. You can listen to religious information. You can be inspired. Then you can also sit down and actually read and underline in something like this, the physical Bible, if that's the way you study. You've got to spend time and then pray. You know, you've got to relate this to the Lord. Those are some practical thoughts I have.
So let's just say that someone's watching and they're saying, I don't know anything about the Bible, but I'm so inspired by what I've heard today on the program.
Exactly.
Where should I start? Should they start at the beginning, or is there a book of the Bible that you think would be a good place to start in this developing a personal relationship with God?
You can start anywhere, but we like to encourage people to start in the book of John, which is one of the Gospels and is the fourth book in the Bible. And
it actually, in the New Testament.
In the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And it actually says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, the written Word, is actually telling about the living Word, Jesus Christ. And
That's a great place to start.
It is.
Why don't you share a closing thought with us?
Well, friends, how refreshing it's been to listen to three young people attest to the fact that God is real. While each one's story is unique, all testify to having a close living relationship with the Lord. Now, do you know God as our viewer? Do you have a relationship with Him? You can, if you so desire. Just tell Him that today. May God be extra close to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Revival for Mission.